And when I looked closer, there was a Sasquatch face on the other side, and it was looking right back in at us.
Staring back at me is a silhouette of a very, very giant monkey.
An intriguing discovery is being investigated in a community east of Seattle. Someone came across a lengthy trail of extremely large footprints.
They are up there.
Welcome, everyone. You've tuned into the Nicola Valley Bigfoot Podcast, a place where your encounters are told. To share your encounter and to be on the show, email me at NicolaValleyBigfoot@gmail.com. Now, sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello, my name is Nick Banovich. My Bigfoot encounter happened in 1987 in Colorado. It happened on a mountain called Devil's Head Mountain on the Rampart Mountain Range. I was 17 or 18 years old, and I was very much into roughing it and like survival camping without a tent. Anyways, I went to school to two different schools for it, and I would go up every weekend all by myself. And one summer, the summer of 87, I talked three of my very close friends into coming with me on one last trip when we graduated high school before we all went our separate ways. We went up to a mountain called Devil's Head Mountain, and we were camping out there was a beaver pond, and we were camping out probably 100 yards away from this beaver pond. And it was we didn't bring a tent. We didn't even bring sleeping bags. It was nice, a hot summer day. We were gonna sleep out under the stars. We didn't bring any guns with us either. And we hiked up this halfway up this mountain to a level area about 100 yards away from this beaver pond. And it was a full moon that night, and we're just sitting around the campfire talking and stuff, reminiscing. And it was probably about midnight because the moon was very high up in the sky, very bright. And all of a sudden, something down by this beaver pond just started going crazy, just whooping and hollering and growling. And I was an avid hunter and camper and fisherman. I never ever heard anything like this. I mean, I've heard bobcats, mountain lions, coyotes, wolves, bears. This was nothing like I've ever heard before. And this thing starts screaming and unbelievably loud. And we, the four of us, just panic. We look at each other and we're like, what in the heck is going on? And being 17, 18 year old kids, we always, and this mountain was named Devil's Head Mountain, there was always rumors about devil worshipers going up to Devil's Head Mountain. So naturally we think this is some kind of demon or devil screaming down there. So that's what we're thinking it is. None of us had any thoughts of it being a Bigfoot. And I really didn't know anything about Bigfoot before this. I knew what I heard of it, but never studied it or anything. So this thing is just screaming bloody murder, and then all of a sudden it stops, dead silence. And then we hear the biggest splash down into this beaver pond. And my three friends, they drove up there in a Jeep. I drove up there on my motorcycle. And our vehicles were parked right next to the beaver pond. This splash in the beaver pond was so loud, I thought this creature threw my motorcycle into the pond. That's how loud it was. And anyways, it threw something in the pond, and then it started crashing through the brush, coming straight for us, screaming and howling and whooping the whole way. And we're just freaking out, thinking it's going to kill us, murder us. And we're thinking it's the devil himself. And we sat there, the four of us, each one of us took a different direction. We're sitting back to back, staring in a different direction. And this creature circled our camp just far enough out of the firelight and into the, it was a very thick wooded area. It was just back far enough, we could not see what it was. We didn't have any flashlights with us either. But this thing sounded just monstrous, just huge, like the size of a buffalo or a rhinoceros, just crashing through the brush, screaming bloody murder the whole time. And it circled our camp for hours that night. Hours. And we stayed up the whole time just shaking, thinking we're going to die. And then right as the sun was coming up, it disappeared. It disappeared in dead silence. As soon as the sun was bright enough, we took off running like scared rabbits down this hill. And then we noticed what made the splash in the pond. There was a boulder in the middle of this pond the size of a trash can lid. There's no possible way a human being could have lifted this boulder up. And we're not thinking Bigfoot, so we didn't bother to look for any tracks or anything like that. We just hopped on our vehicles and got out of there. And the crazy part is, none of us had ever spoken about that incident between ourselves after that day. We never talked about it. And as I said, I was an avid hunter, fisherman, camper. I have never been hunting, fishing, or camping since that night when I was 17 years old. I'm 53 years old now. And I was that afraid to go back into the woods. And then in 1992, the incident happened in 87. In 92, I was watching, there used to be a show on called Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a preview for that show, and they said, tonight's episode is going to be about Bigfoot sightings in Colorado along the Rampart Range mountain range in the summer of 1987. So I was just glued to the TV watching that show, and here somebody had made, there was numerous sightings that summer of an actual family of Bigfoots. I believe it was a mother, they assumed it was a mother and father, and then two smaller Bigfoots. And somebody had a voice recording of this thing screaming, and they played it. It was identical to the screaming that we heard. And that was my first realization that was a Bigfoot that night that was terrorizing us. And ever since then, 1982, I have been obsessed with Bigfoot. And that was my only encounter in Colorado. I moved to Denver, or I moved out of Denver to northern Wisconsin in about 97, and I've got 120 acres of land up here surrounded by thousands of acres of undeveloped forest land, and I've seen Bigfoot up here on my property three different times.
Oh, I want to get into that with you, Nick, but I want to step back for a second and ask you about this Colorado incident, because, you know, yes, that would be terrifying. I mean, you and your friends are out going for, you know, basically one last hurrah, and this creature comes into your camp. Basically, well, I guess this is what I'm trying to ask, is why do you think it was so agitated? Like, if you had to speculate.
Well, I think this was their home. This valley we were in, it was in the Rampart Range on, I want to say the road was called, I think it was Johnson Creek Road. It was a very remote, not traveled area. And I honestly think there's a family of Bigfoot living there. And the reason I think that is I went back to Colorado in 2007 for my 20-year high school reunion. And I went back up to Devil's Head Canyon that when I was back there. First time I'd ever been back since 87. And the crazy thing was, normally if the it's all in the Pike National Forest, all public land. And normally if the Forest Service closes off a road or something, it's just a little metal gate with one bar going across the road and a sign. Well, they had this section of the road going down into this canyon closed off with the biggest gate I've ever seen. The gate had to be 6 feet tall. It was like a cattle style gate. You couldn't get around it. And they had a billboard up on this gate saying, "No trespassing beyond this point by order of the United States Department of the Interior," which is part of that's what the Forest Service is part of. And then it was followed by a big paragraph saying, "Anybody found beyond this point is subject to 10 years in prison and a $10,000 fine and blah, 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 blah." And I think, well, I know the government knows that Bigfoot is a real creature. And I think there's a family of them living in this valley in Colorado, and the government knows about it and wants them left alone and keep people out.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I really think that the government, they know more than they're letting on. And for what reason that is, anyone can speculate.
I know they do. And the reason is because if they admit to it, then of course they have to make it a protected species, and that's going to destroy the timber industry and oil drilling. I mean, they have to, you know, close off the national forests and everything. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a possibility. And I'm with you on that one. I really do believe that they know more than they're letting on, and I think the truth will come out eventually, but So as far as, like you mentioned earlier with your friends, you guys didn't talk about this, but did you tell anyone about it?
Not for years later. I mean, we didn't talk. I don't know why we never talked about it. I think just because we were so traumatized that night and scared. We thought we were going to die that night. And we never told a soul about it until years later.
Yeah.
I really don't know why. I mean, I get a feeling in my gut just talking about it, of being just terrified.
Believe it or not, Nick, I completely understand. I've been kind of in the same boat as you, not exact situation or circumstance, but I've had that fear, and I know what you're speaking of. So you're definitely not alone when it comes to that. But I want to ask you, Nick, like when you're watching Unsolved Mysteries, and I do remember that show. I loved that show when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But when you're watching this, and you're watching this, basically, this traumatic event kind of play out on TV for you that happened, you know, on a personal level. How are you reacting? Like, what's your thoughts when this is going on through the TV screen? Like, what are you thinking when you're seeing this? It's kind of justifying, is it not?
Oh, totally, totally. And the crazy part about it is when I was watching Unsolved Mysteries, I was actually in the hospital as a patient. I got in a very bad motorcycle accident and spent almost a year in the hospital. And I was watching the TV in the hospital, and I was hooked up to all kinds of machines and everything. And as I'm watching it, my heart monitor that I was watching it started going off, and the nurse actually came in to check on what the alarm was. And, you know, I told her it's this TV show, and I told her the story. They all thought I was crazy, of course, but yeah.
Was that the moment that you kind of felt that you could start sharing your encounter with other people?
Yeah, that was the moment that I realized it was a Bigfoot. Before then, I thought it was a devil. I thought it was a demon or a devil. And that might be why I didn't talk about it, because of embarrassment. I mean, who actually believes in demons and devils? But then once I realized it was a Bigfoot, then I started talking about it.
Yeah, and I think that's a pretty normal reaction to when you kind of feel justified and vindicated and kind of realize it's totally understandable.
Yeah, and now since that night, I've just immersed myself in anything Bigfoot.
They definitely have a way of doing that to people.
Oh, every TV show, every book, everything is Bigfoot. I mean,
I completely understand that too. Yeah,
I can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah, it's weird how, you know, like I've always kind of believed in Sasquatch before I had my own sighting, and once I did actually see one, it changed my whole world. My whole thought process kind of flipped on its side and did backflips and went one way and another. And now I love hearing other people's encounters and other people's stories. So that's why I kind of started the podcast. But
yeah,
they have an amazing way of changing your life. They really do.
Oh, it does. It does.
Yeah.
And everything I've learned about them, I'm not afraid of them. I wish I couldn't make friends with one. I mean, I think they're a curious species. I don't think they're dangerous.
Yeah. You know, before we get into your Wisconsin happenings, I want to tell you something really quickly. When I started this podcast, I really thought that I would get like tons and tons of scary happenings with these creatures, you know, like nothing but scary and terrifying encounters. But it's actually been quite the opposite. I don't have many of those. I get the odd one every now and then, but
yeah,
nothing over the top or extraordinary. That's one thing that was really surprising to me, is I really, it's kind of changed my whole outlook towards them as well. But that's just a side note that I wanted to throw in there for you. But I want to get into your Wisconsin happenings here now, Nick. I wonder if you can just get right into it and just tell us what happened and start from the beginning, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. I moved up here. I've got 120 acres, and it's by several thousand acres of totally undeveloped land, marshland, forest land. And it's called I believe the area of land is, they call it the primitive zone. And it's an area in Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, where the glaciers came through. And they have an ice age trail and everything going through that area. But it's very remote. And my land borders that land. And it's all open to public hunting, but it's such a huge remote area that nobody gets back as far as my land to hunt. And my first encounter with Bigfoot was, it was one night several years ago. I've lived up here about 7 years now. It was probably about 6 years ago, middle of the night. I'm downstairs in my old farmhouse, and all of the sudden something just starts banging on the outside of the house wall. Just three huge bangs, so loud that it actually shook the house. And I immediately shut off all the lights in the house. And I grabbed my shotgun and I just started looking out the windows. Didn't see anything. And the next morning I went out and tried looking around the house and stuff. Never found any tracks. But I think that was Bigfoot. I mean, it was something that banged on the side of my house. And then my second encounter was, I walked down to the creek running through my property. Actually, it's quite a ways, so I drove my truck down there, and I got out of the truck and walked up to the edge of the creek, and I'm just standing there staring into the creek, and the other side of the creek, it's all tag elders, which are just so tight together, and They're maybe the height of a one-story roof line, and they're just so tight together, you can't see more than 3 or 4 feet into them. And all of a sudden, something starts running through these tag elders about 20 yards across the creek, and it's running, and I can actually see the tag elders moving where this thing is running. And then it stops, and a log comes flying out over the tops of the tag elders. I can see this log come flying straight at me. It was probably as big around as a small coffee can, and maybe 10, 12 feet long. It lands in the creek 2 feet in front of me. And then this thing starts running again. I can see the tag elders moving. Runs about 20 more yards. Stops. Another log, the same size as the first one, comes flying over the tops of the trees. Lands 2 feet in front of me, just like the other one. And that's when I turned around and ran back to my truck. Jumped in and just spun the tires and got out of there.
I don't really blame you. That's kind of scary as well. Like, you're not really expecting something that heavy to be thrown, right?
Well, when I heard the thing running, my first thought was a buffalo or a bull or something from one of the nearby farms.
Is that what it sounded like?
The log came.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but is that what it sounded like? You know, did it have that thump?
My first thought was a buffalo. I mean, it sounded that loud running through the brush, and I could actually see the tips of the tag elders shaking where this thing was moving. And then when the log came flying, I thought Bigfoot. And then, you know, I jumped in my truck after the second one. And then, I think it was last winter, I'm I was working a late night job. I would get off work at 11 o'clock. I'd have to drive, 50 miles round trip, so 25 miles home. So I get home one night about midnight. I back my truck in against the house, and my headlights are shining out over a field that's a hay field about 5 acres. And I see on the other side of the field, right at the tree line, just two bright red lights. And I'm thinking, at the time I had a neighbor who was a bear hunter, he has actually ran a hunting guide service. And I thought, what the heck is Jason doing out there on my property on his four wheeler at midnight? That's how bright the two red lights were. And I'm staring at him, and then I realize that can't be a four wheeler because they're so high up in the air. And then I shut my lights off, my headlights off, the two red lights disappear. Turn my headlights back on, and the red lights are back there. And then I'm just staring at it, and you can actually see them blinking, and you can see this thing turning its head. And that's when I realized those are eyeballs. They were the biggest eyes I've ever seen. They were bigger, as big as my fist, and 8-9 feet off the ground. And they were far enough. I'm thinking, okay, that's got to be an owl or something. And then the more I'm looking at it, I realize they're probably 20 feet from the actual tree line out into the field. And then I'm staring at it, and I could make out it looked like a black door to me. It was that wide. And I'm thinking, well, did my neighbor put up a deer stand on my property? And I'm thinking, is that two red reflectors on top of it? And it was crazy because you could see them blinking. And then I realized that's got to be a Bigfoot standing out there. I watched it for probably a half an hour. It just stood in the same place, just turning its head and staring directly at me. And I planned on, well, the next day I'm going to go out and look for tracks and hair. Well, that night we got a blizzard and got probably 16 inches of snow.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I was still going to go out there. I took one step into that field and sunk up to my knees.
Oh, man.
And I don't have a snowmobile or a four wheeler or anything. So I thought, well, if I walk out there and a Bigfoot starts chasing me, I'm a dead man. I'm never going to make it back. So there was no way I could get out there that far because it was probably 100 yards away. Yeah. But then the next two nights that I got home, the thing was standing out there. So for three nights in a row, this thing was standing out there staring at me. And I tried getting pictures of it with my phone, but it was just too far away to focus or get anything. I've told several people about that story, and they're all like, oh yeah, there's definitely Bigfoot around here. I've seen him. I've heard him. I mean, lots of people know about him.
When you mentioned the black door, like, is that in reference to how wide this creature was, or?
Yeah, it was that wide. I thought it was a door. I mean, it was at least 4 feet wide, and it looked like a solid door with two red reflectors on the top of this door. That's how big the thing was.
Yeah. The eye shine thing really has me intrigued because that's kind of what I experienced as well with my own sighting. But Why do you think it chose that moment in time to kind of make itself known to you? Do you kind of suspect any reason?
I think it was just curious, just wondering what I was doing out there, wondering what those lights were, my headlights or whatever. I think it was just curious. I think Bigfoot is just a curious animal.
And do you think a Sasquatch, do you think that they're animals?
I think it's a cross. I think it's an animal on the edge of being a human.
Another branch of human, of evolution.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I definitely do.
Yeah. So do I. I definitely lean that way as well. I really think that they might be a primate that we just haven't, haven't discovered yet, but I think we're related to them somehow. As crazy as that may sound, there's too much in common with us and them. But
I definitely believe that.
Yeah.
And I believe they are very, very intelligent.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, let me rewind a little bit here. I want to ask you about when it slapped your house. Now, why do you think it did that?
I don't know. Just to see what I would do. I think it was just curious as to what would happen if it pounded on my house. But it pounded on it three times, and it was so loud, it sounded like a car, an actual car, hit the house three times. I mean, the lights in the house shook. I shut all the lights off in the house so I could look out the windows without it seeing in. And I didn't see anything. I mean, I shut the lights off and I grabbed my 12-gauge shotgun, which I always keep loaded right next to the front door.
Do you suspect that it was the same Sasquatch that was standing in the field?
I don't know, but I think there's at least three of them up here right in this immediate vicinity, because last summer I have my windows open. There's lots of coyotes and wolves up here, lots of them. And normally you hear the coyotes almost every night, and you'll hear the wolves howling every so often. Well, last summer I hear something out in one of my fields. It starts whooping. It goes whoop, 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 whoop. And then another one did the exact same whoop in the next field right next to mine. So the first one does it, the second one does it, and then a third one does it over on the other side of my house out in the 40-acre field. All three of them did the exact identical whoop. And then the first one would whoop, the second one would whoop, and every time they would whoop, they would get, you could hear them getting closer and closer together. And then they met up, you could hear them actually meet up in the middle, and they just started going crazy with the whoops. And you could hear them walking through the woods, going away, and then this poor third one is up here whooping, and the other two are walking away from it. And I believe that was three Bigfoots that night out on I don't know if they were out on a hunting party or what, but I know it was not coyotes. It was not owls. I mean, it wasn't wolves. I'm convinced it was Bigfoots.
It sounds like you're coming in contact with another family unit, if I had to guess, but.
Well, that's what I think so.
Yeah.
And then when I had my first encounter of this thing banging on the side of the house, I quick went on all the Bigfoot sites and looked for Bigfoot reports from Langlade County, Wisconsin. And I found two reports from like the previous 24 months period, two reports in Langlade County of people that sighted Bigfoots and reported it.
Did you call anybody? Investigators, did you call BFRO by chance or anybody like that to come and check out your property?
No, I posted my stories on a couple different Bigfoot sites, and I actually, I worked at a convenience store gas station, and there was a DNR conservation officer that would come in on a regular basis, and I told him the stories, and he said, "Well, you're not going to get me to admit that Bigfoot's real. You're going to need to bring me better evidence than that before I will admit that it's real." So I don't know how to take that. The way he said it, he said, "Before I admit that it's real," well, does that mean he knows it's real, but he won't admit it, or?
Yeah, it's a little odd. I know police officers and who've actually had encounters with Sasquatch, and they won't go on the record. They absolutely refuse to go on the record with it. But, you know, off the record, that's a whole other story. And I'd love to pick the brain of a conservation officer, even in my own area, just to see what they have to say. You know, because in my area, they're quite prevalent. They're not that far away from the urban centers. So I would
right.
Like to, yeah. And that's another branch of the government knowing, you know, something else is happening out there that they're just not letting us know about. So maybe that has something to do with what we discussed earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know a wildlife biologist also that works for the DNR. And I've told him my stories, and I've asked him what he thinks, and he's told me he's never seen good physical proof that Bigfoot is real. But he said, we have a fella that does our trapping for us of nuisance animals. He said, if you tell this guy you do not believe in Bigfoot, he'll fight you to prove that it's real. He said, this guy is convinced 1,000% that Bigfoot is real. And I don't know. That's kind of weird. He's a trapper for the DNR.
Yeah.
Out in the woods. And
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it sounds like he has definitely seen something. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the DNR says there's no moose in Wisconsin. I've lived here 7 years, and I've seen two moose. They say there's no mountain lions in Wisconsin. In 7 years, I've seen 5, 6, 7, 8. I've seen 9 mountain lion in 7 years. Huh. My neighbor caught a picture of the hunting guide. He actually caught a picture of a wolverine on one of his trail cameras, which they say do not exist in Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I really thought that those little creatures were everywhere, but what do I know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you guys got them in Canada.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
You?
They're vicious little things. Yeah, you stay away from them.
Yeah.
I'd rather have an encounter with an angry Sasquatch than an angry wolverine, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually told this wildlife biologist about the wolverine, and he told me there has not been a proven sighting of a wolverine in Wisconsin for over 100 years. He says there is no wolverine in the state.
Well, there's plenty.
this was a picture on a trail cam.
I guess that's not good enough, right? But
yeah.
Well, Nick, let me ask you one final question before I let you go here, and you can answer it however you want to. But you know, how has your encounters with Sasquatch, has it changed you in any way? And if so, how?
Well, it changed me to the point where I don't wanna hunt or fish any. I mean, I want to, but I won't. I'm afraid to go into the woods. And I mean, you know, I'm a 53-year-old man, and I'm afraid to go into the woods, even with guns. I mean, and even though I don't think they're Sasquatch is vicious or mean or anything, I think they're just curious. And I would love to, I mean, make friends with one. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, but I'm honestly afraid of what might happen. You know, if I meet, ever since that encounter in Colorado where it was just so vicious, I'm afraid to go back.
So that traumatic event, which it was very traumatic. It's still lingering with people, right? Even though the Sasquatch that you're encountering lately have not really shown any real aggression, but you know, that event is still sitting in the back of your mind, always kind of, you know, knocking on the door every once in a while, and it's still playing a role in your life.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that happened. I mean, what, 40 years ago? And I honestly think about it almost every day. Every single day, I think about that event in Colorado. That's how much it scared me.
Well, that's understandable. I really hope that, you know, as much as weird as this may sound, I really hope that you have some kind of encounter that kind of counteracts that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. That's why I would love to meet a friendly Bigfoot. I mean, I've got a friend of mine in the county up here. He wants to go out camping this summer on my land and try to do some calls and stuff and see if we can get one to answer back. And I told him I would go, I would do it, but I'm really nervous about it.
Well, if I can suggest, I think you should give it a chance. You know,
I'm going to.
Yeah, I think if they meant to do you harm, they would have already by now, and you would have, you know, a lot more terrifying stories to tell right now than you do. You know, I think you don't have too much to worry about. But on the other hand, I do understand that traumatic event that happened, you know, and trust me, I really do understand. I've felt that fear. So
yeah.
Well, Nick, this has been great, man. I really appreciate you taking the time tonight to come on my show and share this with me. I was really, really looking forward to this, and you did not disappoint, sir. Thank you so much.
Oh yeah. You're welcome. I was looking forward to it too. I'm very glad you got a hold of me, Sheldon.
Yes.
I mean, I hope we can do it again sometime.
Yeah. You're going to have to let me know how this camping trip works out, though.
Well, I will. I will definitely let you know.
Excellent. Nick, thanks again. And for the listeners, if you guys just want to hang around, we're going to close out the show. Stay there. Hey, we're back, everyone. We are back, of course, to pull the pin on this one. But before we do that, we got to give a huge thank you to Nick for taking the time to come on the show today and share with us his Sasquatch experiences. I mean, listening to his first encounter as this creature circled their camp, and you know, a million thoughts must have been going through their minds at that time, and you know, trying to make sense of it all. And it's no wonder that, you know, he still has some level of trauma left in him, because, you know, how do you get over that? I don't know many people who could. I mean, what about you guys? Has it traumatized you in any way? I mean, when I got chased off the mountain with my best good buddy, Dustin, you know, I didn't sleep for a couple of days after that, you know, and it took quite some time for me to kind of realize just how scary that was. Even though looking back on it, I don't really think we were in too much danger. It was just the simple act of this thing not wanting us there. And you know, having no problem in making that known. So there is a level of trauma there. I guess it still resides within me, but I think I've learned to deal with it. But, you know, not everybody's the same. So, Nick, I hope you find some kind of solution for that. Because you know what? Sasquatch are beautiful creatures, and they should be celebrated, not feared, in my own opinion. But that's just me. But, yeah, let me know how this camping trip goes as well. I'm glad that you came on the show and shared with us, you know, your thoughts and your encounters. But, yes, keep me updated. Let's see. If you have had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, I can be emailed at NicolaValleyBigfoot@gmail.com. That's NICOLA, NicolaValleyBigfoot@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you, especially about this whole trauma thing, because, you know, looking back, upon reflection on the length of the podcast that we've been going now, how many of you still have some kind of residual trauma sitting in the back of your brain from your encounter? I'd love to know. Even if you don't want to be on the show, just email me and let me know how your encounter went and how it's affected you. If you don't mind, I'd love to hear from you guys. So get in touch, NicolaValleyBigfoot@gmail.com. Okay, guys, I think we're going to wrap this one up for this week. It's been a pretty hectic couple of days. Just graduation ceremonies going on. There's a whole bunch of stuff happening around town, and, you know, the rain and possible floods and blah, 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 blah. You know, I just want to enjoy my Sasquatch time. So here I am. I'm doing what I like to do. But at the time of the recording, it is Father's Day. So I just want to wish all you guys out there happy Father's Day. You know, all the fathers out there that are making it work and trying your best and, you know, fighting back the tears and the fear and, you know, enjoying the proud moments and just loving those kids of yours. I'm in that same boat. You know, there's sometimes I have sleepless nights wondering how I can make, you know, my children's lives better. And there's not always an answer. But, you know, when they look at you and they smile or they present you with the, you know, very thoughtful gifts, I got to say thank you to all of my kids for the phone call and the bags of chips that they seem to think that I really, really enjoy. I'm going to eat the heck out of those. But I just want to say thank you to all the fathers out there, you know, giving it your all. You're appreciated. I know on some level from somewhere, from someone, someone loves you and appreciates everything you're doing. And you deserve today to be recognized. So happy Father's Day. But with that, I think we're going to wrap this one up, guys. Like I said, get in touch, NicolaValleyBigfoot@gmail.com. And until next Tuesday, I will talk to you later. Bye.